Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad to be back with you all as we're coming back off the road from touring for this season of Cyrus Webb Presents we've been taping for television. Really excited to be able to welcome our next guest for our program to you guys today. It's someone that has, I think, a story that so many people can relate to, but we're going to talk to him not only about the resilience he's been able to show, but also the individuals that have been able to join him along his journey. Ron Thomas is with us today to talk to us not only about life after losing his son, but also what it's been like for him in his search for justice, as well as to make sure that his son Kelly's memory is not forgotten. We're going to talk about a very special event that's coming up this year at the Action on Film International Film Festival in September, as well as, of course, the connection that Ron had with music with his son that he will be sharing this year as well. Ron, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, this is, really an honor for me to have you on with us. I had a chance to speak with you, as I sometimes do with guests, previous to actually today. And the thing that really struck me, Ron, and we can kind of begin the conversation here, is the courage that you have had to be able to not only to talk about your son and what happened with him, but also how you make sure to do your part to keep not only your son's memory alive, but also what happened to your son in front of people. It's been now 4 years for you. What has it been like for you, Ron, to see the way that people have not only come around, to be able to support you, but also want to make sure also that Kelly is not forgotten?
Well, it's been very humbling. I appreciate it more than anybody can know. I do tell them the support is unbelievable. And, as human beings, we do have compassion. I honestly believe that. And when so many people, millions of people, seen what happened to Kelly, the just absolutely brutal way he was beat to death, as he lie in a gutter, begging for his life, begging for forgiveness for something he didn't even do, calling out for me to save him 31 times before he died. People are struck by that. It goes right through their hearts. And, they have supported, followed, done so many things, protested. It's just been amazing and very humbling.
Right. Now, I should say, and as you said, him being beaten the way that he was, we should say that it was actually officers that were on trial, of course, for what happened with your son, Kelly. A lot of people might be listening to this conversation, Ron, and say, why didn't I hear more about this? But it is a story that has continued to be able to get attention. I noticed just recently there was an article that was written where you were able to talk about it, as well as, of course, what's coming up later on this year with Action on Film. We'll get into that. But, does it surprise you that so many people are just learning about what happened to Kelly Thomas just now?
I've learned why that's happening. It went worldwide, and I made sure it went worldwide in a big hurry. But you get a lot of people that just don't care until it hits them close to home. Mm-hmm. And for even me, I was never on social media of any type until this happened to Kelly. And if it's not on the local news, people don't hear it. But people are. I mean, this is happening so much everywhere. People are actually looking up things and they're seeing it. So that's how they're discovering his story. But even the ones that are just finding it are so compassionate about it, and they can't believe that these officers were completely acquitted of no harm at all.
Right. And I think that was the interesting thing for me when I was prepping for this segment with you, Ron, because, and I knew I wanted to be sensitive with this because I know, even though it's been 4 years, it still is the loss of a child. And I thought about someone who doesn't have children of my own. I can't even imagine what it's like to go through something like that. But I will say this, the other thing that struck me, and I actually said this to you, I believe, when you and I first talked, when we set up this conversation, is that you would hate to say this, but it, unfortunately, in the world that we live in today, unless people look at it as a racial thing, a lot of things don't make, the news the way it should or get the coverage that it should. Do you believe that race did play a part in that, too, as far as the coverage?
It does. I think it does because people, city governments, county governments, state, federal, they're trying to be, more politically correct. They're trying to do the right thing. And, you know, let's face it, the truth is what it is. Nobody sticks together as well as the African Americans, and I applaud them for it, you know. And because they stick together so well, because their voices are so loud and heard everywhere when injustice happens, they get results.
Right.
And, you know, it doesn't always happen with another race, especially Hispanics. So much or so many times they're categorized and people just don't care, which is a shame. But I think race has a lot to do with it, and the way the different races handle it has
right.
so much to do with it.
There was a lot that came out actually about the about what happened with your son, Ron, and still it is unbelievable to I think to most as to how the verdict was the way it was. I think one of the questions I wanted to make sure that I asked you was, how do you keep from letting hatred eat you alive? Because it seems as though the thing about you is that you are so much more focused on the memory of your son and making sure that that's not forgiven, that you don't allow for the darker side of it to envelop you. Is that the case? I mean, is that a true representation?
For the most part, it has a lot to do with my military background, my training, even my martial arts background, which is quite extensive. I keep focused. I really keep focused. I mean, Kelly's army is huge, so I know where these guys are at all times. I put things in perspective. I know what's going on legally. I know what's going on with Department of Justice, the FBI. I know what's going on with the civil trial. So I put it all in perspective. I'm much more in control of what's going on than people realize. And because I'm not screaming, yelling, and hollering doesn't mean I don't want these guys to pay an ultimate price for what they did to my son.
Right.
I just look at it differently. I'm extremely focused on what do I do next?
Exactly.
And what can I obtain? What can I do? What can I make happen? That's where I'm at.
Right. And I think that is the right attitude to be able to have for sure, Ron. You mentioned Kelly's armies. We're going to be talking about that here in just a moment. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm really excited to welcome to our program today Ron Thomas. We're talking to him not only about life after the loss of his son, but also what it's been like for him to be able to keep his son's memory alive, as well as his search for justice for his son alive as well. You mentioned Kelly's army, and I mentioned went live here, Ron, that was one of the things that really struck me is how, Kelly's army has been there, especially on social media, to be able to keep things out there. How did that all begin?
Well, I was being interviewed one day at a protest in 2011, just from a regular news crew from out of Los Angeles. And, with my army background, and Kelly loved to play army with his brother and sister and these kind of things, she said to me in the interview, "Well, who are these people?" And without missing a beat, I said, "They're Kelly's army." Hmm. And that's how it all started.
Wow. And it's a name that they definitely proudly wear. I noticed even on Twitter, Ron, when they tweet, they said that, they were happy that you had allowed them to be able to use that as their official name. In fact, they can be found on Twitter just by using that handle there, at Kelly's Army is where you all can stay connected with them there, as well as using the hashtag Kelly Thomas. And I think that says so much. You were talking about, unfortunately, for a lot of people, and it is true, Ron, that for most people, if things don't affect them directly, it's very difficult for them to get involved. I think what was so horrific about, what happened with your son, and you even said it in an interview that I read, and that was that, this could be someone else's son. This could be anyone of our son. Is that the reality that you want people to realize why it is so important that people speak out and also speak up?
Well, I really do want people to understand that, and even more so than the common citizen, I want law enforcement officers to understand that. Because while they're being heavy-handed, beating people, shooting mentally ill people, I want them to know who they're dealing with, and that could really be their child in coming years even. Kelly wasn't diagnosed till he was 22 years old. And these guys go home and they have their sons and daughters, maybe teenagers and all, and they think everything's fine, and they go around busting heads all night. Well, one day, the odds are there.
Right.
Some of their kids are going to turn out to be mentally ill at no fault of their own. And now what? Now all of a sudden they care. You know, so I want people to understand this. And especially law enforcement officers, when you approach mentally ill, you need to approach it in a whole different manner.
Yeah. This has been an interesting time, I think, for the United States, Ron. And I think this conversation is coming at an interesting time as well, because there does seem to be such a tension between law enforcement and, you know, and some, you know, in the communities. And I think, you know, people will look at what happened to Kelly and people can say, well, you know what, this is why there is so much distrust. You know, how do you, as someone who has that background, how do you reconcile it for people that it's not all law enforcement, it's not all people who wear a badge? How do you help them to reconcile that, you know, that that is, you know, a group of people, but it does not have to represent the majority?
I've said it from day one that in no way did I believe that the entire Fullerton Police Department was bad, the men and women in there, that this is a rogue group of officers that did this, that murdered my son. And, you know, I said about officers everywhere. And while I'm trying to do my best to remind people that there are a lot of good officers out there, then we have, I don't know, you know, because of where you're at, If you heard the story about the Santa Ana Police Department here just a couple weeks ago, raided a marijuana shop, an illegal one they say, and they went in and they started eating the edibles, and they were caught on surveillance tape, and they started busting the place up, and you know, so and more horrific than that is this young man who the city next to me in Lakewood, California, you know, his name's John Berry. John's brother, who is a law enforcement officer, active law enforcement officer for the federal government, called and asked for a mental team to come out. His brother's schizophrenic. He pulled up in the driveway in his car. He needs help. We don't have anybody. Well, we'll send officers out to 5150 and bring him in for help. Send the deputies out. They ended up beating and tasing him senseless in the front seat of the car before they shot at him 60 times. That's 6-0 when he's completely unarmed. And the family is just calling for help. And the brother who called and the sister are like 10 feet away from him watching all the screaming and yelling. It's, don't do that, don't do that. Then they shoot him to death. Approach the mentally ill in a different manner. They're not going to be right. You know, what do we do when a child, when a toddler comes to the house? We clean up the stuff off the coffee tables because we know they're going to knock it off. Well, we know mentally ill aren't going to act right. It has to be changed.
Right. It has to be changed. And I think sharing, you know, a journey like yours, Ron, definitely helps in that regard for sure. Again, everyone, Ron Thomas is our guest for this segment. We're talking with him not only about how he's been able to keep the memory of his son, Kelly Thomas, alive, but also how by joined by Kelly's Army, he's been able to help other people to realize the importance that he was just sharing there to make sure that we're taking care of all citizens and to making sure that what happened to individuals like Kelly does not continue to happen. Now, this is a special year for you because one of the things that you shared with your son, Kelly, Ron, was music. Music was one of the passions that you both shared. You're going to be performing at this year's Action on Film Festival that's taking place later on this year. And also something else is going on there, and that is the giving of the second annual Kelly Thomas Award. What was it like for you? We had Dale Weston on this program a couple of times of the Action on Film Festival. What was it like for you when you first heard about this award that was being given out to for movies that focus on justice and things dealing with civil rights?
Well, you know, it's all very emotional for me just trying to talk about it now. When Dell told me about this, we talked often, and when he we were on the phone and he told me about this, I cried. You know, literally broke down because in the honor and name of my son, this award's given out. You can't get any better than that. That's fantastic, you know, and it shows that people in an influential position really do get it. They really do care. So it's quite an honor to hand that award out last year. I viewed, I think it was 6 different movies, and I decided who the winner would be. And, you know, this year going to do the same thing. And it's just such a fantastic honor to do it. again, it's very humbling to be up there and speak to people about my son. You know, whenever I do, and I've talked and gave speeches before, you know, 600-700 people, and it's always very humbling and honoring for me to represent my son.
Yeah. Can you talk to us about your love of music, of Kelly's love of music, and how that was one of the things that united us? One of the things I read in an article from back in May, Ron, was where I think it was Kelly's brother, Kevin, talked about that. That's one of the things that you all loved, of course, music, and then, of course, your love of the guitar. I mean, talk to us about that connection you all were able to form through music.
Yeah, all the way, you know, from little kids, you know, I always had the music playing, and it was the 70s stuff, and, you know, Creedence Clearwater Revival and all that kind of classic rock. And as Kelly got a little bit older, I started teaching him how to play the guitar. He showed an interest in it, in acoustic guitar. Then as he got through his teenage years and into his 20s, we would play guitar a lot together. I was a single parent to him for quite a while, and so we had a lot of guitar time, and it really bonded us. And, you know, and it was really, really nice for me when he would show me some new licks on the guitar. I was really impressed and happy with that. So that was that really held us together. It was such a connection in music. It was just beautiful.
Yeah. Well, we mentioned about, of course, your performance at this year's Action on Film Festival, Ron, and we're going to be giving out the information about the website a little bit later where people can find out about Action on Film for sure. But what is it like for you? I mean, I read in this article, and I mentioned to you before we went live that my producer found the remastered song, I Ain't Talking About Love by Van Halen, which I know you love, and we're going to actually be playing this as we close out this segment today. But, you know, what was it about music that spoke to you that made you want to be a part of it, do you want to pick up the guitar and learn to play?
I started back in, I think, 1964 playing the ukulele when my dad got transferred to Hawaii in the Navy, and I just, you know, picked it up. It was great, and played all around the island in the school back in the fourth grade, and just loved it. And when my dad retired in 69, as actually my grandmother bought me a bass guitar. I love the bass. I love the boogie patterns, all that type of stuff. And, you know, started with that and then went to acoustic and then finally electrics. And, you know, now I've got, I think, 14 different guitars and two bass and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, music's where it's at, and you just got to love it. You know, and it helps you. It helps cleanse your soul when you get into music.
Right.
It just takes care of things.
Right.
So...
yeah, I totally agree. And that single, Ain't Talking About Love, I mean, you had said in that article that that was one of your favorites by Van Halen. What was it about that song that spoke to you?
You know what? It moves. And that's back to the boogie. I've always been a fan of a lot of different types of music, a lot of quiet, slower music and jazz. I love jazz. But I'm a guy that loves the good boogie, good riffs, you know, some really, really well put together music like what Van Halen did with Ain't Talking About Love. The guitar riffs and change ups in that is just you know, phenomenal, and I decided I wanted to play it.
Yeah.
And I told Dell about that one day. He said, "So what are you doing?" I said, "Well, I just got back from playing guitar." He goes, "Oh my God, what are you playing?" You know, I said, "Well, Van Halen, Ain't Talking About Love." And it's funny because I'll be 60 next year and here I am playing that, you know. So and he goes, "It's done. You're playing it at the next awards dinner." I go, "No, Dell, no, it's done. It's done. You're playing." I said, "Well, all right, Dell, okay. All right."
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that sounds like Dell.
Yes, it is.
That sounds like him. Well, it is a great song. I had to look it up for myself, but then my producer says, "Hey, I got it," because it was remastered this year. So we're going to let our listeners hear it, Ron, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about the power of one and what your example shows for all of us about what one person can do to not only to bring about change, but also to make sure that people know that change is possible. We'll talk about that and then let our listeners know how they can stay connected with you, okay?
I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. Here is Van Halen, Ain't Talking About Love. We'll be back with our final moments with Ron Thomas right after this. Stay with us.
I stood and looked down. You know I lost a lot of friends there, baby. I got no time to mess around. So if you want it, got to please on it, baby.
Talking about love here on Conversations Live, the remastered edition that came out this year. We're joined today by Ron Thomas. We've been talking to Ron not only about how he's been able to keep the memory of his son Kelly alive, but also what it's been like for him to be able to live outside of his laws and to be able to see the way that people have been able to rally around him as well as his own search for justice. You know, and Ron, that leads us to the power of one. It's one of the things I love to talk about in this program because, you know, I think so many times people, you know, have examples like you to say, you know what, because of people like Ron, I can continue, I can move on. What has it been like for you to show people that what has happened to you does not have to define you, but you have to keep living, you have to keep moving forward?
Yeah, I've had so many people tell me that I have helped them in their personal lives and in their tragedies by example. And you know, I'm just a very humble guy. I don't see it that way. I'm just doing, you know, what I feel any dad should do under these circumstances. And all along the way, I do help people, and I get other people off the streets, homeless people off the streets, and they need medical care or a place to live. I'm involved with so much all the time while I'm fighting for justice. You know, I've been on the steps of our Capitol in Sacramento talking to thousands of people there and trying to make so much change. But, yeah, I'm one person, like we all are one person. But I've surrounded myself with thousands and thousands of people. And very strategically, I have very influential people. And by that, I mean the citizens.
Right.
You know, there's power in numbers. And when you get the citizens, remember it says, we the people. And I say that so often in my speeches. We the people can change this. It's not just me, but am I at the forefront? Am I, you know, leading the charge a lot of times? Yeah, but it's really we the people that make the change, and I'm just so humbled by it all, again, when somebody says I've helped them change their lives for the better.
Yeah. Well, I want to say thank you so much for entrusting your story with us, Ron. It's been an honor to be able to speak with you, and I thank you for taking up the time. I know it is difficult to be able to talk about it, but I know there's so many people who are going to be helped by this conversation today. Again, everyone, Ron Thomas has been our guest. We've been talking to him not only about how he's been able to keep the memory of his son, Kelly Thomas, alive, but also bring attention to things that matter to him when it comes to justice, as well as, of course, the rights of others. He's going to be a part of this year's Action on Film International Film Festival that's taking place in September. They actually have events taking place throughout the month. You can go to the website at www.aof.org. aoffest.com. That's www.aoffest.com to find out more information about this year's event. So make sure you guys take advantage of that opportunity. That we also have Ron is going to be performing this year, thanks to his friend Dale Weston, as well as, of course, presenting the second annual Kelly Thomas Award, named, of course, for his son Kelly, to a movie that has been selected that focuses on the issues of justice and civil rights. Ron, how can our listeners stay connected with you and keep up with what's coming up next for you?
Well, I'm on Facebook because of all this. It's Ron Thomas 357, and you know, send me a friend request. And you know, there's so many events that go on all the time. If anybody wants to get involved, they want to keep you know, kind of track of what's going on still, because there's more with Kelly. There's a civil case coming up, and there's still federal action that may take place. So that's probably the best places on Facebook. There is a page called Kelly's Army. They can visit that and, you know, get involved, help out, volunteer. It doesn't take much time, and it's really appreciated.
Right. Well, you know, your time is definitely appreciated. I know, again, it's not easy. There was a quote that really struck me that you said, actually, in that interview that I referenced earlier from earlier this year, and I read it, and again, I can't imagine what it's like for you day after day to be able to give of yourself the way that you are, but you say in that particular interview, Ron, about how people need to realize that, you know, unfortunately what happened, you know, with your son could so very easily happen for anyone, and that's why it is so important for us not to just be, you know, bystanders, that we are active and that we are engaged and that we remember that you know, that when it comes to life, you know, that all life matters and that we are able to keep that at the forefront for everyone. And I think that is one of the big things, you know, for people to realize. You said also in that interview that the quote was, if they can do that to my son, of course talking about Kelly, then nobody stands a chance, nobody. And I think, again, that's why it's so personal, because it is something that everyone can definitely relate to. So, again, I do appreciate your taking out the time. And it goes without saying, Ron, you're welcome back here anytime. I'd love to stay connected with you.
That'd be fantastic. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine. And we thank you, our listeners, for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live, whether you're joining us on the radio side of our show or online. If you guys did join us online and came in late and missed part of the show, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available on our social media sites at facebook.com/CyrusWeb or head over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Just click on that link. You can listen to the show completely for free and even share it with your friends from there. If you're joining us on the radio side of our show, either in Atlanta or in Mississippi, you can check with your local station to find out when the show will be re-airing for you. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music, as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.